show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Begin countdown. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered a restricted broadcast area. You have entered a restricted broadcast area.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you've read?
The Guy James Show. America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Well, hello there, and welcome to the Guy James Show. Glad to have all of you along with us this afternoon. I'm still in here pushing buttons and turning dials and so forth, getting everything set up. A little bit late getting around today. Yes, here in the studio. Welcome to the show. I'm very pleased to have all of you along with us on this Thursday afternoon. Kind of a rough day for weather here in southwest Florida. Big storm hanging in off the coast here, and we've been getting pelted with rain today, some serious rain. It's not raining right now, but we've had enough for a little while, I would say. Hope it's nice where you are. I guess I always say that, and I know it's still quite warm out west. Have a brother that lives in Phoenix, and I know it's hanging in, the heat's hanging in out there. Said for the first time at night, though, you can drive around without the air conditioner on here this summer, so it's cooling off a little bit. Oh, my. So much to talk about today, and we hope you'll join the program a little later on in the second hour. I think we have a setup, Anthony Arnov. Anthony wrote the Logic of Withdrawal, a great article and book. Also, he works closely with Howard Zinn, the voice of the people's history of the United States. He's also the editor of Iraq Under Siege, The Deadly Impact of Sanctions and War of Terrorism and War. And, of course, his articles and writings have been in The Nation, The Financial Times, and These Times, The Monthly Review, and many others. Howard, Anthony lives in New York. We'll be talking to him the top of the hour, right after the news, top of the second hour, right after the news. And we'll be speaking to him specifically today about this Blackwater mess that's taking place over in Iraq. It's not over, folks. The Iraqi government, and kudos to them for doing so, are raising holy hell over it, and I do not blame them. I think anybody that knows the story of that whole situation doesn't blame them one bit. Be a bad thing to have a bunch of lawless mercenaries driving around your town shooting the place up and acting with impunity toward your citizens, and also having complete immunity against any prosecution of any kind, So that's a good thing. We'll be talking about that in the second hour. What else we got on the list here today? Oh, I do want to talk a little bit about Junior's speech this morning. We'll get at that. You know, I may have to change the format of this show. I was thinking a lot about it today, and I, you know, talking to a friend of mine, I said, how can you stand this, talking about politics every day? You know, and so, you know, maybe I will have to change the format to something else. Maybe, you know, gardening or knitting or professional wrestling or something. I don't know. All I know is that the political scene is just getting a bit too tawdry and ugly for me, and as you well know, the deeper you dig into the political scene today, the uglier it gets, the filthier it gets. And I'm really getting sick of it. I really am. And the general public doesn't seem to get it. That's probably the most frustrating thing. They either don't care, or they don't know, or they don't know and they don't care. And that just makes me sick. They care more, and we've talked a lot about this. They care more about O.J. Simpson than the troops getting killed in the war. They care more about Anna Nicole Smith than they do about Afghanistan. I mean, Britney Spears and Lindsay Lohan and, you know, the rehab deals and the drunken nights out. All of that's more interesting to the public than what really matters in this country. And, you know, the more I watch it and the more I hear of it and the more I watch the politics going on in this country and the arguments going back and forth, I'm beginning to think there's only two kinds of people. There's no middle. There's morons and there's non-morons. And that's just the way I feel about it. And I'm beginning to think about 75% of the public are morons. I'm sorry, does that sound condescending? That's the way I feel. Maybe I can bring my guitar into the studio and start doing country music and hear folk music or something, leaving the politics to someone else, because, man, it's getting bleak. It really is. And speaking of bleak, did you see the Bush press conference this morning? Oh, man. Did he not seem like he was drugged to you? I'm serious. Stoned, delirious, flipped out. I actually heard him say, and I went back and found the transcript because I really wanted to know if I heard it right. I thought maybe I had flipped out. He said, someone asked where are all the Mandelas? Saddam killed the Mandelas. Well, right away I thought, my God, did I miss a day in history and Nelson Mandela died that I didn't know about? Because Junior sure as hell thinks he's dead. And he thinks Saddam killed him. Is this guy for real? No kidding. I was sitting there and I thought, Jesus, did I fall asleep one day and not hear that on the news? I actually had to look it up. And thankfully, Nelson Mandela still is alive. Someone should remind Junior, by the way, that his vice president actually voted against the resolution demanding that South Africa release Nelson Mandela back in the 80s. Do you remember that? Yes. Dick Cheney. Here we have Junior Bush up there today asking where are all the Mandelas when we know for sure because of his vote that his own vice president, the revered and esteemed Darth Cheney, doesn't give a damn about any Nelson Mandela because he actually did vote against the resolution in the Congress demanding that South Africa release Mandela in the 1980s. So what does Junior Bush think about? I mean, you know, sitting there listening to Bush speak during a press conference and he stumbles over the words. He mangles sentences. He seizes upon certain words and he repeats them, oh, just mindlessly, over and over and over again. Today it was proliferating. He kept saying that, and, you know, and watching him deliver that stupid with that smirk of his, and absolutely dodging any questions that make any sense. And another thing he actually said today, and I had to go back and look at the transcript. I thought, my God, this can't be true, but he did say this, and I'll quote him. I'm quoting Junior Bush here. He said, and I quote, "You know, our strategy in dealing with these extremists who still want to attack us is on the one hand, chase them and find them and bring them to justice, and on the other hand, help change the conditions that," and this is the part I like, "caused 19 kids to get on airplanes and come and kill nearly 3,000 citizens on our soil." 19 kids. You know, the more I watch him, I think Junior Bush doesn't have the brains of your average goat. I really don't think he does. I mean, what a shameless, lying little ass he is. He mentioned that Democrats are more afraid of MoveOn.org than they are of offending the military. Because, you know, when you hide behind the skirts of General Petraeus like he's been doing now for how many months? 6 months, then it's all of a sudden becomes high treason to question Petraeus. And of course, questioning Petraeus is the same as insulting the military, right? Oh, I tell you, to call this bunch of weasels shameless is it's an affront to the word shameless. It really is. I can't wait. I just can't wait to vote against these Republicans again. I just can't. John Cornyn, we'll talk about him a little bit later on today. What a bastard. I'm in that mood today. In that mood today. Yesterday was a big day for the Republicans, you know. Hugely successful day for them with more of their filibusters. I wonder how much the average people in the public know. And we know that they don't know, don't we? I'm beginning to sound like Donald Rumsfeld. We know they don't know. We know what we know. We don't know what we don't know. All that kind of stuff. You know how he used to go around in circles with that. But it was a great day for the Republicans yesterday. And when all the dust had settled, John McCain, John Warner, and some of the other holier-than-thou Republicans who always promised to stand up and defend America. They filibustered 2 bills from coming to a vote. We had Patrick Leahy and Arlen Specter behind the habeas corpus bill, which was going to restore habeas corpus rights to the Guantanamo detainees. I mean, that's something that's been around since the Magna Carta, clear back in 1215. The vote on that was 56-43. And as most of you know by now, that vote was 4 short of the magic 60 that the Republicans have imposed upon the Congress to pass anything nowadays. You need 60, not a simple majority, to bring it to an up or down vote. Once you get it to an up or down vote, why, then it only takes a simple majority. But getting it to a vote takes 60 with these goddamn Republicans now. You see, they've decided to filibuster almost everything. I read someplace, I think I have the numbers right, correct me if I'm wrong. I think up in the 9 months the Democrats have been controlling the House and the Senate, that the Senate, there have been 54 Republican filibusters, and that's more than it had been in the previous 6 years added together. That's right. And the Republicans are just having a wonderful time with this. Oh, it's a great victory for them. And, of course, the other victim of their voting was Jim Webb's troop support amendment, which did mandate that after every tour of duty, the troops need to get an equal amount of non-combat time at home. Once again, needed 60 votes to bring that to an up or down. But moreover, I think the vote on the Webb bill by the Republicans in the Senate yesterday is certainly all the proof I'll ever need that the Republican Party, is nothing more than a bunch of moronic sociopaths who don't care one whit for anybody other than themselves and their political power. I think beyond a shadow of a doubt they proved that in spades yesterday. You know, how long's it been now? Decades. We've heard them rail about how they're pro-military and pro-troops. And that anybody that isn't with them on everything to do with the military, a bunch of damn traitors and treasonists and all that. And then they vote against a bill that would have allowed the troops to have a decent rest period before being sent to Iraq for yet another tour of duty. It defies the imagination that anyone could even consider voting against that bill. It's strange credulity. It really does that anyone, anybody, even Joe Lieberman, could vote against that bill. But then it is Republicans we're talking about here. These are people without conscience. Frankly, I think they showed the entire country that they're willing to put politics above the safety and security of our troops. Plain and simple, that is it. There is no other way to explain it. No other way. How can it be that a political party, supposedly patriots, supposedly good Americans, supposedly, how could it be that they could do this to our young men and women in the military? This is what they get for volunteering for military service. You know that we've had them beat that drum for how long now about the morale of our troops? Oh, when the Democrats talk about how things are going bad, it's hurting the morale of our troops. Over and over and over again, we've heard that. Frankly, it's bunk. But you just think of the message it sends to young people considering service to our country right now. Join up and we just might send you to war and keep you there for years on end. We don't care if you have a family. We don't care if you want a life outside of the military. You are there to do what we tell you for as long as we tell you. Even if it means 10 years at war in a foreign land, we don't give a damn. Because we're going to protect our political asses. We are going to go along with this president, come hell or high water, no matter what. That is what they told the troops yesterday. How would you like to be deployed to Iraq right now and hear that news? You might be thinking no matter how long you'd been over there, you might be getting a little bit of a reprieve next time around. And you were anticipating that vote passing. We have the Republicans always crowing about the morale of our troops. What do you think that vote did to the morale of our troops? Put yourselves in their places right now. I guess that MoveOn.org wasn't strong enough. It wasn't comprehensive enough because it should have included almost the entire Republican Party, not just Petraeus. The Republicans betrayed our troops yesterday. There is no other way you can say it. There is no other conclusion you can come to. They betrayed every member of the United States military yesterday to save their political asses to go along with this dolt that occupies the White House right now. That is what happened yesterday. Plain and simple, there's no other way to explain it. Rather than find a sensible way to bring them home, rather than compromise with the Democrats on a withdrawal plan, they refuse to budge, and therefore our military personnel are the ones who are suffering. Not the senators sitting in their ivory towers in Washington, not their families. No, let's just send our kids to war and tell them that we've got no idea when they'll come home, that we don't know what it takes to get them out of Iraq, that there really is no plan for winning war, and there is no definition of winning this war, and they're just going to stay there until these Republican bureaucrats decide it's time to bring them home after years of stumbling around in a country where we never belonged in the first place. All of this to just try and save their own asses politically. All of this to protect their obviously insane leaders, Bush and Cheney. If there ever was a time for America to be ashamed of the United States Senate, it was yesterday after that vote. It proved to me, and it should prove to everyone, that once and for all, the Republican senators, except for that handful, are not worthy of being called decent human beings, let alone being in the United States Senate. I am incensed. I am outraged at that action. if at the very least they couldn't find a way to set a timeline for withdrawal, they could have at least settled on giving our troops some much-needed rest and time away from battle. But no. Oh, no. They had to stay loyal to the warmongering part of their party. They had to stay loyal to the smirking chimp that occupies the White House, because what would the drooling idiots back home that voted for him think if they disappointed their dear leader? There should be black bunting hanging in the United States Senate today to signify the death of reason and dignity of that body. I'm ashamed for our nation, and I weep for our troops. This is an outrage. Of all the things these people have done, this is the worst. It does not get any worse than this. To preach on the one hand, support our troops, all the little flags, all the little ribbons, millions of them running around on Republican automobiles in this country, and all the things that they've said about the Democrats being traitors and treasonous and all this for not going along with Bush on his war. And then to vote against the troops yesterday on this, I do not have words to express to you the contempt I have for the Republican Party today. I will never have words to express how I feel about them today. Never. This is an affront to the military. It's an affront to the families of the military. And it's an affront to the people of the United States of America who care about this country. I don't care how steeped you are in politics. I don't care how much you depend upon contributions from fat cat military suppliers. I don't care about any of that. I don't care how much you feel that you have to kowtow to your hardcore warmongering faction of your party. There is no possibility that you can be a decent human being and vote to keep this Webb Amendment from coming to an up or down vote yesterday. Well, I don't want to belabor the point. It's amazing to me that it's not headline news on every news service today. It really is, but then OJ is a lot more important. Then Britney Spears' comeback is a lot more important. The new Falls TV series starting tonight and this week is more important. Doesn't say much for us as Americans, does it? Not very much at all. Going to take a short break. We'll be back in a minute.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Shower the people you love with love. Show them the way that you feel.
They say,
shower the people you love.
Listening to the Guy James Show. You're listening to one Guy James today who is in a very foul mood. I guess you can tell that by now. I am not pleased with the United States Senate today. If my pockets were deep, I think I would have jumped on a plane this morning and gone to Washington. And gone up and down the halls of Congress and the Senate and visited every one of them that I could and told them what SOBs I thought they were. I would have done that. I was that incensed this morning. That Webb Amendment would have required that all the troops deployed overseas would have at least an equal time at home, at their home base. In the states to retrain, to re-equip, maybe to renew their ties with their families. It's not like some bozo put this up, Senator Webb, former Secretary of the Navy, did tell the rest of them, and if they didn't know, and they probably didn't, that it was past policy to have a 1-to-2 ratio that is twice as long at home as being deployed. Right now, it's less than the 1-to-1 he called for. And the Republicans voted against this because Junior Bush wanted him to vote against it. The man speaks out of both sides of his mouth. On the one side, he talks about how he has all this great respect for the troops. And yet he would have vetoed this had it gone through. But the problem I have with this is why didn't Harry Reid call their bluff? And I know I'm sounding like a broken record. I bring this up over and over and over again. Why didn't Harry Reid call their bluff? They say they're gonna filibuster it, and as soon as the minute it looks like the Democrats can't get their 60 votes, why Harry's okay, we quit, we throw up our hands, we quit, you win. By God, if I was Harry Reid, I'd make them stand there for 20 days and 20 nights filibustering the thing. Do I have this wrong? Do I not know my parliamentary procedure and the procedures of the United States Senate? Couldn't Harry Reid make them do that? You're damn right he could make them do it. Why doesn't he? Why does he cave on every single issue that comes up? Okay, we give up. We give up. Now, I've been tremendously criticized by people in our party for talking like this about Harry Reid and the leadership of the Democratic Party, but what else can I think? Am I supposed to go along with that kind of thinking? Well, we can't do anything. We might as well just let them have their way again. you know, we can't get it to an up or down vote. So, you know, they're going to filibuster us anyway. We might as well just, you know, be good and be nice and be cordial to them and let them have their way. And we don't want to cause a lot of trouble because they'll call us names again. Christ, Harry, that's exactly what you sound like. That is what you sound like. Oh, God, I'm frustrated today. Let's head on over to the phone. Hello, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy. Phil, up in Daytona Beach.
Hi, Phil.
I share your frustration, Guy. You asked why it's not on the front page of all the papers today, because the same criminals that took over our government and had this plan for ongoing war and invasion of the Middle East own the damn media, and we have to. I was talking. I had a chance to get on with Bruce Birch last night. We have to take our discussion to the next level, and I mean with our fellows. You know, admit, recognize, and own it that the media has been stolen. The Congress is if yesterday's vote does not provide enough proof to you that it's been stolen from us, we got to recognize that and get more involved as a people. How do they keep getting away with this? Because the American people continue to let them get away with it. Man, we've 4.83 hours of television per day the American household watches. That's 35 hours a week, and we're not doing enough. And I submit to you, Guy, that the listeners here, I bet you if they looked at their week and where their time is spent, I bet they could find an extra 2 or 3 hours in that 35. You know what I'm saying?
Well, they could, but they're not going to.
Well, you know, they better, Guy.
There's not a whimper about that yesterday. Not a whimper from the general public. Nothing.
No, exactly. And you know, I was talking about this last night with John Fox and Bruce Birch. Those of us who are in the know have a responsibility here, whether we wanted it or not, Guy. If we're in the know, we've got to act, because we're the last one in line, man. Nobody ever, we can't pass this off to anyone else, Guy. The Congress is stolen from us. The media is stolen from us. And we've got a willfully ignorant, selfish American public. You know, so we're the last ones in line, man.
Well, we are, and here we have, you know, it's to the point where popular support for a bill just doesn't seem to matter to the Republicans anymore, because they know they don't need popular support anymore. The public isn't financing their campaigns. The corporate interests are, and as long as they get enough corporate money, they can go on TV and spend millions of dollars and feed the pablum to the public that the public will eat up, and we're the good guys, and get themselves reelected and keep control. And you know, how can you, you know, the habeas corpus bill, it had a 2-to-1 public support for it. 2-to-1. And yet the Congress, you know, the Senate voted against it. And a tremendous number was for this, giving the troops a little bit of a respite. And here they don't give a damn what the public thinks. They really don't.
Well, and that's what I mean. If this Congress did not do anything about Bush and Cheney lying about weapons of mass destruction to start this damn war in the first place, they ain't gonna, you know, this is par for the course. And, you know, that's what I mean. The people have to step in. And for those of us who are in the know, you know, we're already, like, you know, I'm folding flyers right now because every week on Thursday nights our local Code Pink war, you know, anti-war demonstration, and we don't just hold signs, man. We hand out flyers that have you know, information, websites, phone numbers, who you can call, you know, Downing Street minutes, that kind of stuff, you know, to inform the public. And we got to build this public awareness, and damn it, turn that television off. Stop feeding it. I got rid of my cable, man.
Well, Phil, answer me this. Help bolster my spirits today. Do you see any evidence whatsoever that we're making any progress?
Well, you know,
come on, Phil, answer that question. Do you see any honest progress that we're making? Do you see?
I do, because I was up in Washington last week, and I saw those Iraq vets against the war. And that's what I'd also want to, if you would allow me a minute or two to touch on. You may have already touched on this week. David Klein, past president of Veterans for Peace National, passed away over this weekend. Mm-hmm. And he was a founding member of the GI resistance during Vietnam. When he came back, you know, three Purple Hearts, Bronze Star, all kinds of wounds. When he came back and out-processed down at Fort Hood, Texas, he didn't hit the road, man. He set up right outside Killeen, Texas, set up one of those coffee houses and started those underground newspapers where the GIs could come in, and he was a major, major leader in the GI resistance during Vietnam. He's a key figure in that film, Sir, No Sir. And anyone who's interested in that film can go to the Iraq Veterans Against the War website, IVAW.org, and check it out. These Iraq vets are coming back, man, and they need our support, you know. And you know, what was it, guy? January of 06, they 72% of the GIs wanted to come home before the year was out, and you know, no wonder why they haven't had a second poll, you know. These kids, they're dependent on us, guy. The Congress has sold them out. The media is a sellout. They might throw a bone every now and then with a Keith Olbermann or whatever, but it's what it is. It's throwing a bone.
You know, I was thinking today, Phil, I saw that deal taking place down in Alabama. And I don't know how many thousand people were there. But from some of the coverage I saw, there was more people there than there was in Washington last Saturday. And even if it wasn't, here we are in defense, and it's a good thing. I'm not complaining.
Yeah.
Here we are. We have this huge mobilization to some godforsaken place in Alabama.
For six
black kids who were accused in this beating, for six kids, and we have this huge mobilization. People come from all over the country on buses, and yet we have this thing in Washington, this march in Washington, and we're talking about doing this for the hundreds of thousands of people in our military, and we don't get any more support than we do. It's shameful. It really is.
Well, that's what I mean. Don't think that these soldiers and the military families aren't upset. But and another thing, guy, the Alabama thing, the news media is giving it attention because it's another thing that divides us. You know, it'll get people shouting back and forth and keep your eye off Iraq and whatever the government's stealing from us, you know, this week. I'm also a member of the Florida chapter of Military Families Speak Out. You know, my kid brother actually just left last Sunday for a second tour, and I'm a member of the Central Florida chapter of Veterans for Peace, and I want to encourage the listeners to please go to veteransforpeace.org and read the tributes to this fella, David Klein, who's a really a, 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 a you know, should be a legend and will be over time in the
he will be. And you know, I was really pleased to see him play, see them play tribute, pay tribute to him last weekend. I thought that was a great thing. I was hoping they'd mention him, and they certainly did.
And I hope people learn about what he actually did, and you can do that. But what's happening with the Iraq vets? You know, remember the five NCOs from the 82nd Airborne who had their letter to the editor published in the Sunday New York Times?
I think it was seven.
Three of them are dead now.
Oh, okay.
Three of them are dead. You know, you got Pat Tillman being assassinated. You know, he's got three bullet holes in his forehead. You know, that ain't an accident, guy. You got a government that covers all this stuff up. You know, four people that were in Jessica Lynch's, you know, squadron, you know, turned up dead. You got people getting suicided. You know, these guys, it's really tough for these guys to talk out. And we have to support these vets. Because no one else, you know, and the active duty soldiers, we've got to support them. We've got to give them a safe place. I encourage everybody to please take a few minutes and go to IVAW.org and help these kids. You know, these kids are coming back, you know, from multiple tours in Iraq, and they're giving everything they got to hit the streets. You know, they could probably use a few bucks. You know, and they offer speakers. You know, if you're a college kid or just anybody, you can invite them to your town to speak and get some media coverage. There are things that we can do. Anyone can do. You don't have to be a member of these organizations. You know, and military families speak out. Give them support because it really, you know, the military community. The leadership still makes it very, very tough for these people to speak out. More and more are speaking out, but they need to have a safe place to speak out. They need to know they're going to be supported.
Well, it's tough for them. There isn't any question. The atmosphere for them is poisonous if they do speak out while they're still in the military, and we're seeing retribution.
It's horrible, guy.
Yes.
This we really are living in a Stalinist society right now, man. The United States is if it's not Stalinist Russia, man, you know, everything is in place for it. You know, you look at all the police brutality, the tasering, you know, I mean, you know, the cops that look like stormtroopers. This has all been by design. You know, these neocons, this right wing, we got to stop being surprised by it. They're doing what they said they were going to do.
I guess you've noticed that too. And were you talking about a minute ago? It's something I just commented on recently with some friends and acquaintances. The stormtrooper look. Have you noticed how even your local police, a lot of them, your local sheriffs and police are all doing the skinhead thing and the,
oh yeah,
isn't it something? I wonder what that's about. I really do.
It's by design, guy, yeah. and it's the leadership. It's it comes from the top down. You know, you just look at and a lot of these Iraq vets. You know, the police departments are being encouraged to recruit these kids. You know, you have an incident like up in Asheville where the guy kicks the door down. You know, he punches the glass to unlock the kitchen door, kicks the door down. It goes right into these people's kitchen. The people who had the flag upside down, distressed.
Mm, yeah.
You know, in their own window or their own yard. And the woman's on the phone calling the police, and this guy's grabbing her husband in a chokehold. You know, I mean, this is we're here, man. This stuff is happening, and it's being encouraged. By being tolerated and condoned, it's being encouraged. And nobody is going to come save the day. It truly is up to we, the people. You know, and every single day that we just comment on it, I don't mean you, guy, but you know what I mean? I mean, people, is another day, man,
well, we need
you know,
to.
It's another day that we're getting closer to not being able to do something about it.
Well, we need to do a better job in the media somehow. Somehow we're failing, and we're not making any progress in the media.
Because we keep going back to the corporate media, guy.
Well, we do, and the thing is, we're not getting any help. You know, if the corporate people aren't going to support the media for us, then the people have to, and the people
exactly.
are not.
Exactly. You know, and I say tune in to the Head-On Radio Network, you know, and I'm so glad that you have the PayPal buttons on your website, and now the Horn itself has a PayPal button. You know, I canceled my cable TV, and I'm not rich, but I'm able to give you a monthly donation, you know, stop feeding it. It's like going to American gas stations. They're charging us $3 a gallon. Stop buying from American gas stations. Go to Citgo, man. You know, stop going back to get. It's almost like
like America's in a fog. They're just everybody's walking along. They're working their job, their two jobs, however many they got, and yeah. just going along in a fog. Phil, I got to move along.
Thanks, guy.
Thank you for calling. I appreciate it.
We have to engage our fellows more.
We do.
You know, we have to shake them out of this fog, because if we don't, nobody else is gonna.
Right, you are.
Thanks, guy.
Yep. Bye now.
Bye bye.
We're gonna go to a break, but first I want to pay you Mel Martinez. One of our esteemed senators from the United States Senate here in Florida. What he had to say about this vote yesterday.
I think we would demean their service if we were to say to them that there had to be a parity between the time in service out of the country and the time at home. The goal ought to be for us not to have 5-month deployments. The hope would be that these would never be necessary. But the mandate from Congress that this is how we must operate our armed forces, I think, is ill-conceived, it is dangerous, and does not serve either the national interest of our nation nor the interest of the soldiers on the field whom it is intended to serve. We should not have a subterfuge of policy to change direction in Iraq, heaped on the backs of our brave men and women in uniform.
This is the Head-On Radio Network, The Horn.
This is Billy Shears. Join us this Friday on Foxed Up at 10 a.m. Eastern. We'll take a look at John Lennon's Thanksgiving 1974 onstage appearance with Elton John, marking the end of John's lost weekend.
That's when Yoko and I got back together the night I performed with Elton at Madison Square Garden.
Be there this Friday on Foxed Up at 10 a.m. Eastern, right here on the Head-On Radio Network.
Whatever gets you through the night.
This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
Late at night, when the wind is still, I'll come flying through your door. And you'll know what love is for. I'm a bluebird, I'm a bluebird, I'm a bluebird, I'm a bluebird. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm a bluebird, I'm a bluebird, I'm a bluebird. Yeah, yeah. Touch your lips with a magic kiss, and you'll be a bluebird too. And you'll know
bluebirds. We're the bluebirds, we're the bluebirds, we're the bluebirds. Singing bluebirds.
Ah, yes, bluebird. I need one of those bluebirds of happiness outside my window this afternoon. I'm pissed, as you can tell. Maybe a radio host shouldn't talk that way, but I am. I'm a little bit out of control today. And please, you right-wingers, don't send me any more emails. Who do you think you're talking to? Don't send me any more emails parroting the right-wing crap by these war hawks that, and you've all heard it, saying that Congress cannot impose such regulations on the armed forces as Webb was trying to do. Let me remind you, Article 1, the Constitutional Powers, Section 8, Paragraph 14, completely puts that to rest. And it says, and let me quote, "The Congress shall have the power to make rules for the government and regulation of the land and naval forces." That's right. Congress shall have the power to make rules for the government and regulation of the land and naval forces. So don't give me this BS. What do these Republicans sit around and dream this crap up and think just because they say it, it's true? Well, I guess why not? They've gotten away with it for how long now? Why not say it's not within the powers of the Congress to regulate the military? Why not say it? Because the Republic, all they have to do is say it, and the public believes it. It's BS. It's being passed around in one of these right-wing emails that, the Congress doesn't have the right to do that. Well, I'm sorry, but they do. And I'll tell you what else they have the right to do. And you hear one Democrat after another running from it right now. They have the right, and I think they have the responsibility right now, to pull in the purse strings and say no more. They can do this. Don't have to bring it to a vote. Oh, no. This is nothing that they can get filibustered on. This is not something that the Republicans can pull any dirty tricks on. No parliamentary procedure tricks, anything like that. All the Democrats have to do is not bring it to a vote. That's all. Cut off the money. And what do you want to bet? And I guess you all know the answer to that right now. That the cowardice will come forward and they will not do it. They will not cut off the money for this war. I can't think of very many of them that'll do it. Oh, to be sure, there's a handful. But scared to death, frightened to death to have anything to do with cutting off the money for this war. Oh, what'll the public think of us if we do that? I'll tell you what they might think of you. They might think you have some guts for a change. They just might think that you're starting to grow a spine. If you'd stand up to this 29% president and tell him no, hell no, I'm not going to appropriate another dime for this miserable war of yours. It's that simple. And this fallacy, oh my, we'll strand the people over there. They won't have enough weapons, don't have a way to get home. Hey, we'll make sure they get home. There's enough money in the pipeline to get them home. The equipment, you might as well leave it. One thing is half worn out, and another thing, you're going to sell them enough arms to kill each other off over there anyway. They're already doing it. The arms merchants here in the United States, selling death and destruction to all the neighbors over there, making sure they're all very well armed. Now, they're not going to cut off the money. They just simply will not do it. And I don't know why we keep even saying it, because they're not going to do it no matter what. They've defied the public. They've looked at their constituency straight in the eye and said, screw you, we're not doing what we want, you know, you want us to do. We know what's best. you people just leave it to us. We're your elected leaders. We'll do what we please, and you'll like it. That's the story we get now. They don't support the troops. They support the war. There's a big difference. You know, the troops, their families, to hell with you. Your equipment, proper training, a little time with your family, screw you. Just go fight. Our esteemed leader says you need to go fight. You're over there to fight. You volunteered for the army, to hell with you. You go ahead and do it. Stay there as long as we want you to stay. No. People are mentioning on the chat room today that too many of them are owned by the war profiteer corporations. Well, nothing could be more true. That's absolutely true. And that goes for people on both sides of the aisle. A little bit of this cowardice maybe isn't cowardice. Maybe it's the unwillingness to go against their corporate masters. And, oh, yes, I know I'm endearing myself to the powers that be in the Democratic Party when I say that, but there's some of it on both sides of the aisle, folks. And I've thrown out the resolution time after time that we need to elect more Democrats. And I'll stick to that to the day I die. But we also need to elect some better Democrats. There's a difference. Well, we're almost at the top of the hour here. I don't know where the time's going this first hour. I guess I've talked a lot, haven't I? I'll try not to talk about it too much the rest of the hour. It's just sickening. I wanted you to know where I feel, how I feel about it. Howard Dean had something to say about it. Howard Dean said President Bush is at it again, spinning the facts to try and sell his failed stay the course strategy in Iraq. Republicans continue to block Democratic efforts to change course, ignoring the American people as they extend this war inevitably. Yesterday, Senate Republicans blocked legislation to give our troops time between deployments to prepare, train, and recover from their service in Iraq and Afghanistan. And our brave men and women in uniform and their families are strained to the brink, yet Republicans continue to choose President Bush's failed Iraq policy over the well-being of our troops. This is unconscionable. Democrats will continue to fight to bring an end to this war and bring our troops home safely, but until Republicans' votes and criticism of Bush's Iraq policy match up, we need to work to elect a Democratic Congress. Well, Howard, you're right. You are right. But I wish they would have stood and fought a little longer yesterday rather than caving in just a few minutes like they did. That's for certain. Well, we're going to pause for news at the top of the hour. And all I got to do is find the right switches and buttons here. We're going to do that. Don't go away. You're listening to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. We'll be back right after the news at the top of the hour with our guest, Anthony Arnold.
This is the Quality News Network. At the White House this morning, President Bush told reporters that he'll veto the democratically controlled Congress extension of the state Children's Health Insurance Program, which expires September 30th, because they'd written in a provision expanding coverage to families making $80,000 a year. The president said it's the Democrats' way of enacting national health care. Instead, he said more power needs to be put in the hands of individuals and private health care should be made more affordable. Osama bin Laden has a new video out saying Pakistani President Musharraf's, quote, loyalty and submissiveness and aid to America makes armed rebellion against him and removing him obligatory, end quote. He goes on to say that people of Pakistan should make up for lost time in carrying out the rebellion against him. Also in the video is bin Laden's deputy, Al-Zawahiri, who calls for jihad against France and Spain in North Africa and UN and African peacekeepers soon to be deployed to Darfur. In Lebanon, the nation is mourning yesterday's assassination of a prominent anti-Syrian politician, the eighth such member in the past 2 years. The violence was universally condemned by world leaders. An officer in the Quds Force, Iran's elite Revolutionary Guard unit, has been arrested in northern Iraq for smuggling roadside bombs into the Kurdish area. The number two U.S. commander in Iraq is reporting that the seven-month-old security surge has resulted in a 50% reduction in violence in Baghdad. New York's Port Authority has denied access to Ground Zero to Iranian President Ahmadinejad. He said that he wanted to lay a wreath at the site to pay tribute to the 9/11 victims, but in a recent meeting, the Port Authority said no dignitaries would be allowed at the site due to ongoing construction. On his tour around the world to gather political opposition to the U.S., Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez visited Tehran for a two-day meeting with Ahmadinejad, who he refers to as his, quote, ideological brother, end quote. The two are working on several business deals, including the construction of petrochemical plants in Iran and Venezuela. Thousands of protesters, including the Reverends Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton, along with Martin Luther King III, are marching in Jena, Louisiana today, breaking into chants of Free the Jena Six, the African-American high school students initially charged with attempted murder in the beating of a white classmate that admitted to hanging three nooses from a campus tree. This is the Quality News Network.
Are you one of so many people who wish they could wake up in the morning and look at the clock without fumbling for glasses first? I've got news for you. Your wish can come true. Most cases of nearsightedness, farsightedness, and astigmatism can be corrected by the laser procedure known as LASIK. Now, is this procedure without risk or guaranteed? No, but complications are extremely rare, and the outcomes are almost always positive. And if your results aren't exactly as expected, you can be retreated in most cases for no additional cost. You should be realistic about your expectations, though, especially if you're over 40, because unless you have what's called monovision, you will still need your glasses for reading. See your eye doctor about LASIK. I'm Dr. Nancy Eklund.
The preceding message on eye care by Dr. Nancy Eklund has been brought to you as a public service by the Quality News Network. For more information, please contact your eye doctor.
The Hawaiian Vanilla Company, the only farm growing vanilla in the United States, was awarded a $41,000 grant by the U.S. Agriculture Secretary yesterday. The department awarded $22.7 million in value-added producer grants to 162 recipients in 40 states and Puerto Rico. Electronics retailer Circuit City is losing more market share to rival Best Buy. Circuit City registered a $62 million second quarter loss versus a profit last year of $10 million. Bear Stearns' profit fell 62% in the third quarter. The investment bank had the most exposure to the credit market this summer. CEO James Kane cited, quote, extremely difficult, end quote, conditions in the loan buying markets. In Florida, the state public employee retirement fund will pull nearly $1.3 billion out of companies doing business in Iran or Sudan. It's the lowest level in 7 weeks. The number of unemployment claims, that is, the Labor Department report just out shows just 311,000 jobless claims last week. That's 9,000 fewer than the previous week. Furniture retailer Bombay & Company has filed bankruptcy. Its Canadian unit is seeking similar Chapter 11 protection as well. Market barometer Federal Express warned today that soaring fuel prices and the U.S. housing and credit markets are taking a toll on their earnings. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow is off 23 points at 13,793. NASDAQ's down 5 as well as the S&P 500. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Michael Coleman.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show. The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's
Guy James.
Welcome back, everybody, and thanks for staying with us through the news. Always a little information there at the top of the news. I see the Dow's kind of just riding in the middle there today. Always take a look at that. Not that I have a big portfolio. Hey, welcome back to the show. Thank you for joining us today. And as promised, I'll get right to it. We have our guest, Anthony Arnov, today. Anthony has written lots of articles we've talked about in the book, The Logic of Withdrawal. He's been a critic of Junior's War. He and Howard Zinn have collaborated on a number of issues, projects. Anthony, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me back, Guy.
We asked you to come on the program today to talk about a subject near and dear to both of our hearts, is this Blackwater mess that we're faced with in Iraq now. We've had a number of people on this program, some one not so long ago, maybe you know him, David Enders.
Sure, he's a very good journalist.
Yes, and he reported to us a month ago, maybe 6 weeks, I'm not sure, live from Baghdad, and told us a story about Blackwater and how they get by with literally murder in that country. And I know you've got a lot to say that about that as well. Tell us your feelings about this Blackwater situation.
Well, I think it's important to take a step back and talk about something that you haven't heard much in the media, certainly not the establishment media, which is that in addition to having 169,000 active duty troops in Iraq, which, by the way, is the largest number at any point since the U.S. invasion. So, you know, all these headlines we're seeing in the papers about withdrawal and reductions of troops mask the reality that it's never been a larger occupation. But in addition to those 169,000 active duty troops, there's an effective doubling of that occupation with an additional 170,000 or so contractors. And of those, about 50,000 are armed. A number of them are mercenary companies, like the 1,000 Blackwater operatives who are operating in Iraq. And what's interesting about that is, first of all, it allows Bush more leeway in continuing to prosecute a war that the American public has come to reject.
It makes the numbers look better, doesn't it? It makes it look like the war is not as big.
For example, the death toll. You've had more than 1,000 contractors who have died in Iraq. Those aren't counted when you see the 3,776 number that was reported today. There's more deaths. There's more injuries, and there's a doubling of the size of the occupation. And also, you know, when people are talking about troop drawdowns, they're never talking about the number of mercenaries, and they're almost never talking about the military bases in Iraq either. So it's a way of hiding from the public the reality of the occupation. And another fact that's being kept away from the public is the situation that these mercenaries are operating in a completely legal free zone where they've been exempted from Iraqi law, deliberately exempted from Iraqi law.
And when you say exempted, you really mean exempted, don't you? I mean, there's nothing they can do and be held accountable for, is there?
I'll give you two examples of this. First of all, when Paul Bremer was the colonial viceroy of Iraq, in his capacity as the head of the Coalition Provisional Authority, in addition to many of disastrous resolutions that he imposed on Iraq, which we could go through, the de-Ba'athification resolutions and so on, he passed Order 17, which stipulates that any private contractors operating in Iraq are not subject to Iraqi law. That still stands. But then you go to the situation today. Blackwater does not even have a license from the Iraqi government to operate in that country. They're operating without a license. And the number of times that there have been incidents, this is not the first time, in which Blackwater has been accused of carrying out abuses of Iraqi rights, violating the rules of engagement, and so on. There's been no trials, no hearings, no accountability, and in fact, Blackwater operatives have been whisked out of the country lest they possibly face any kind of interrogation for their crimes. So it really is total impunity for a company which is operating very aggressively and which has a pattern of abuse of human rights.
When we think back, everybody remembers that horrible scene on the bridge and the bodies being mutilated and so forth of the Blackwater personnel. That wasn't just a random act, was it? That was actually an act of retribution because of some things that the Blackwater had done and the locals retaliated.
Absolutely. It was an act of retribution, and it was coming after a period of severe repression in and around Fallujah, in which Blackwater mercenaries had been taking part. And, you know, another interesting aspect of that whole story is it was initially reported, and sometimes still reported, as if these were just civilians who were killed that day, when in reality the Blackwater guards are mercenaries, and they're very aggressive and provocative mercenaries. And I think they've contributed to the escalating spiral of violence in Iraq, rather than in any way trying to provide any stability or allowing Iraq to reconstruct.
How did this, tell our viewers, how did this company just literally sprang out of the weeds? It's not a very old company. It's only about, what, 9 or 10 years old. But they literally came out of nowhere to have a huge presence in this administration's war.
Yeah, this is an example of crony capitalism. You know, you often hear about crony capitalism applied to other countries, like the Asian countries have crony capitalism. Well, we have it here in the United States, and Blackwater is a good example of it. Eric Prince, the founder of Blackwater, is a very wealthy businessman with strong ties to the Republican Party and to the fundamentalist wing of the Christian right. And he's figured out a way of buying influence and advertising his services, providing kind of outsourcing services for the U.S. military. And despite a pattern of abuse by his operatives, he's been protected. The company has been protected from investigation. In fact, Henry Waxman has recently uncovered evidence that the State Department oversight committees didn't look into evidence that Blackwater was importing arms illegally into Iraq. And we've seen a number of incidents of aggressive shooting by Blackwater operatives that have not been interrogated. But it's another example of how companies like Bechtel, Halliburton, that have these close connections to the Bush administration have been shielded from any kind of accountability and have been given very favorable terms for the contracts. No bid contracts, cost plus contracts. And that seems really to be more about the interests of those groups than in any kind of transparency or any services, really, that they're providing.
Well, they learned fast how to staff their company with people who have had influence in the administration. The Joseph Schmitz, for example, former Inspector General of the Defense Department, is on the staff at Blackwater.
And Kofor Black is on the board of Blackwater.
By the way, interesting aside, the things you find out, that Joseph Schmitz, his sister, a lot of people you know, Mary Jo Letourneau. Mary Kay Letourneau, the lady that was in all the news. Why, that's his sister. I don't know if that's newsworthy, but anyway, it's true.
No, it's another example of the kind of crony capitalism that Blackwater represents. And Halliburton, of course, with the ties to Vice President Cheney, his business connections remaining very close to that company, which he was the chief executive officer of before he returned to government. It's not really a revolving door. It's more like a revolving door implies too much of a barrier between the two worlds.
I agree. Where do you think this is going to go? Right now, we've got this little scuffle taking place between the Maliki government and the Bush administration. Who's going to win that? As if we didn't.
Well, I think the Bush administration is going to win. Most likely, what will happen is that there will be an attempt to, put a firewall around this incident. But allow Blackwater to continue to operate, allow the mercenaries to continue to operate in Iraq. The Iraqi government is not truly a sovereign government. They're a government that serves the interests of a foreign power, the United States, which provides the overwhelming force and security in the country, and to which that government is beholden, far more than it is beholden to the interests of the Iraqi people. So I think it's a crack, but it's going to take a lot more pressure internationally, pressure here in this country, in order to really turn the situation around in Iraq with regard to mercenaries and with regard to the larger crisis of an occupation that the people in this country don't want, but which our government seems quite intent on continuing for years and years and years into the future.
At least in modern warfare, this is kind of a new thing. I know there were a few private contractors, very few, in Vietnam, telephone companies and people like that that went in and did some work. But in modern warfare of national defense, of our Defense Department and our Department of War before that, this is something that's brand new, isn't it? And maybe here to stay?
It's absolutely here to stay, barring changes in the political culture and pressure. Change direction in this regard. There's real plans to, in fact, expand the use of mercenaries by the present administration. And it is, as you say, on a scale which is really unprecedented. And it raises very profound questions about democracy, about oversight. It really does allow the government to wage unpopular wars when they can deploy these kinds of private armies outside of the normal, very weak, very limited, as we've seen recently, channels of congressional oversight.
Well, obviously they are planning on expanding it. I didn't know until just a couple of days ago. Here we had Petraeus last week telling us how great things were going in Iraq, with a few minor difficulties to hear him tell about it, but things were just vastly improving. And several days before he made his report, we had the United States Army advertising for bidders for private contractors to take over our military warehouses in Iraq, because all the soldiers, the military personnel running those now, are needed out in the field on patrol. So here we are even advertising for more private contractors while we have Petraeus home here telling us how sweet things are there right now.
Yeah, no, I think that's absolutely right. You are hearing Petraeus, you're hearing top Bush administration officials talking about how we've turned a corner in Iraq. We've heard that many, many times before. And yet the reality is not only are they making plans to continue the troop presence in Iraq for many years to come, they're expanding their military bases. They're building in Baghdad the largest embassy in the world of any government, not just the U.S. government. And they're making plans to stay for a very, very long time. And meanwhile, the situation for Iraqis is disastrous. You have the world's largest refugee crisis today and the world's fastest growing refugee crisis in Iraq. And each month it's getting worse. The country is being torn apart.
And, you know, one of the things that comes to mind here on our program all the time, and I just can't get it through my head, I guess the people, the 29% left that approve of Bush's handling of things, how do they rationalize? How do you see it? How do they arrive at it? How can you trust somebody to do a job for you? Like if you're an employer, and he works for us, kind of, everything you've done has been a disaster, and yet you're able still to convince 29% of the people, well, you know, trust me, I'll get this right. That's beyond me.
I think it comes back to a very pervasive myth in the American culture, which is the myth of good intentions. All it takes is for a politician to say he wants to spread democracy, say he wants to help the Iraqis, that he's motivated by humanitarian concerns, say that you know, his intentions are good, and anything that suggests otherwise is somehow an aberration. Or you can change course because, okay, we made some mistakes, but now we're really going to bring democracy, or now we're really going to help the Iraqi people, or now we're really going to stop civil war. And the only way that that myth can be so effective and pervasive in our culture is that it's reinforced over and over and over again in our establishment media. If you look at the media coverage of Iraq, there's total amnesia. These are the same people who were lied to about weapons of mass destruction, Al-Qaeda, and so on, and reprinted those lies on the front page of their papers. And now they're just reprinting a whole set of new lies. They haven't learned any kind of critical acumen or skepticism towards this administration, or they've learned very little. Very little of it is on display. I mean, occasionally now you see it.
And most days it's not even on the front. In most days it's not even on the front page anymore.
No, absolutely. And now we see the saber rattling towards Iran with much of the same script, you know, except they've changed the Q in Iraq to the N in Iran. But I think the other thing that's interesting is that despite that, you do have overwhelming poll numbers showing people wanting to get out of Iraq, and you had a clear vote last November indicating that. And for all this talk about spreading democracy to Iraq, I think what's really being exposed is how little democracy we have here at home.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's gradually being eroded, and right in front, you know, as the old story about the boiling frog. It's happening right in front of our eyes, and we're not jumping out of the water. Anthony, you can find your books and all at AmericanEmpireProject.com, right?
Yeah, that's the website, and at bookstores around the country.
And you working on anything right now?
Howard Zinn and I are working on a play based on voices of a people's history of the United States, and also on a TV documentary version. So hopefully folks will get to see those in the next year. So.
You and Howard, what a pair. What a pair. Hey,
thank you. To get to work with such a great guy.
Yeah, you bet. Anthony, thanks so much for being on the program today. Appreciate hearing your views on Blackwater. It's a story that I hope doesn't go away for a while, and we'll continue to monitor what you have to say about it, and we'll have you back on the program again. Thanks so much.
I'd love to come back. Thanks, Guy.
Thank you. Anthony Arnov. And, again, you can find his writings at AmericanEmpireProject.com. That's AmericanEmpireProject.com. How many of you heard the little dust-up yesterday between Cornyn? Oh, man. Here I go. I'm going to have to get my blood pressure medicine out again. Actually, I only take it once a day. Yes. Cornyn, dumbass senator from Texas. Boy, Texas pumps out some good ones, don't they? Gonzalez, Junior Bush, Harriet Myers, Karl Rove, John Cornyn, and what's her name? The other senator down there. Oh, my God. Seems like the place is infested with rats, isn't it? Language is a bit strong, but I mean it. John Cornyn yesterday, I thought it was just laughable. Here he is before the United States Senate wanting to pass some sort of a resolution, non-binding or whatever, to condemn MoveOn.org. And you know how I feel about the MoveOn.org thing. I agree with every sentiment that they put out there, but I didn't think it was smart politics to do it the way they did it. But nonetheless, it's done, and it's given the Republicans a lot of ammunition to go hunt Democrats right now. But it's done, and here we have John Cornyn, so holier than thou, on the Senate floor, having wanting to condemn them, but gee whiz, just having a little bit of amnesia about Max Cleland and John Kerry. Just seem to forget about all that, and notice how he stammers and stutters if you didn't hear this. And we're going to take a few minutes and play this. It's lengthy, but it's something, if you haven't heard it, you really should.
My amendment expresses a sense of the Senate that General Petraeus and all members of our armed forces should be protected and defended against an attack of their honor on their honor and integrity. By introducing this amendment, I call on all senators to tell America that they do not condone such character assassination of those that are sworn to protect the very freedom that we enjoy and the very system of government in which we all serve. Madam President, our military service members simply deserve better, and I hope that all members of the United States Senate would join with me in supporting this amendment.
Senator, yield for a question.
I would yield for a question.
In the 2004 presidential campaign, I might ask the senator from Texas, there was a group from Texas, the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth, which attacked Senator John Kerry and said that he was undeserving of the commendations and decorations which he received for his courage in fighting in Vietnam, and raised questions about others who served in the military who were part of his Swift Boat operation. One would have to say by any stretch that the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth were attacking the honor and integrity of one of our colleagues who served with honor in the Vietnam War. I would like to ask the senator from Texas to remain consistent if he is also prepared to amend his amendment and to repudiate the activities, actions, and statements of the Texas-based Swift Boat Veterans for Truth with their unwarranted attacks on our colleague, Senator John Kerry of Massachusetts, during the 2004 campaign.
Madam President, I am not willing to amend my resolution as the distinguished majority whip requests. He keeps emphasizing that this is a Texas-based group. I have no idea whether it is or is not. But let me tell you what the difference is between this ad and what MoveOn.org tried to do to this good soldier, and the difference between that and a political campaign. Senator Kerry chose to run for President of the United States. You and I and others may disagree with the tactics employed by third parties in the course of a presidential campaign, but this is not a presidential campaign. General Petraeus did not volunteer to run for political office and subject himself to the spears that we all sometimes catch as part of the political process. All this general has sworn to do is to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States and to protect this country from attacks from our enemies. So I would say that it is apples and oranges to compare what happens in a political campaign with the attack on this general in such a premeditated and vicious way as MoveOn.org did before he was to deliver his testimony before the United States Congress.
Madam President.
The Majority Whip.
Madam President,
once again, Dick Durbin,
colleague from Texas, Senator Cornyn, has offered this amendment before. I have stated on the floor before, and I will state again, I respect General David Petraeus. I voted to confirm him as the commanding general of our forces in Iraq. He has served our country with distinction. It has been my good fortune to spend time with him in Iraq on two different occasions. Both times I felt that he was forthcoming and answered questions and demonstrated time and again that he was willing to wear our country's uniform and risk his life. I think that the language chosen in this ad by this organization was wrong and unfortunate. Having said that, I'm troubled by the conclusion of my colleague from Texas that the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth could attack Senator John Kerry for his valor and courage fighting for America in Vietnam, and that for some reason we shouldn't repudiate that attack. That it is okay because it happened, as my colleague said, during a political campaign. If this is about the honor and integrity of our armed forces, past and present, whether it takes place during a political campaign or at halftime in a football game should make no difference. If the senator from Texas believes that we should stand on a regular basis and condemn those who've attacked the honor and integrity of warriors who have served this country with valor in past wars and present wars, then he should be consistent. It is totally inconsistent for him to pick one organization and to ignore the obvious. There are others that have done the same thing. Swift Boat Veterans for Truth is a classic example of an organization that distorted the truth about Senator John Kerry and others who served our country during the Vietnam War. The fact that they did it during a presidential campaign should have absolutely nothing to do with it if this is a matter of principle. However, if it's not a matter of principle and something else, then you would pick and choose those organizations that you want to condemn or repudiate. Unfortunately, the senator from Texas has picked one organization. He doesn't want to talk about the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth. He certainly doesn't want to repudiate them. I think they should be repudiated. What they did cast a shadow on the combat decorations given to others during the course of that war. What Senator John Kerry did was to volunteer to serve our country, put his life on the line, face combat, stand up and fight for his fellow sailors on that swift boat, and then come back to the criticism, the cheap criticism of a group known as the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth. Now, the senator from Texas, if he is going to be filled with rage over those who would cast any disparaging remarks about our military, should be consistent. He should amend his resolution, and I will seek to do it for him, incidentally, to add the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth as a group that should be repudiated. If we're going to get into this business of following the headlines, responding to the advertisements, and repudiating organizations, let's at least be consistent.
Will my friend yield?
I'd be happy to yield.
I just want to say to my colleague, thank you very much for pointing out the inconsistency and a narrow attack on one organization that I guess my friend doesn't admire anyway, and that's his right. It's also our right to speak the truth on this floor. And the fact of the matter is the Swift Boat Veterans went after a war hero and told stories to the American people that were not true and tried to sully a hero's reputation. But that's not the only senator that was attacked. As my friend, remember what happened to our colleague Max Cleland. I know that he does. Here is a veteran who gave three limbs for his country. Three limbs. Harder for him for the first 2 hours of every day to get ready for the day than it is for the senator from Texas or myself or the senator from Illinois to just do our work for a month. And yet, this man was viciously attacked. His patriotism called into question. Oh, yes, my friend might say, it was part of a political campaign. It was disgusting. And so we raise these issues. What I want to ask my friend is this. I was thinking, as the senator from Texas, my friend and colleague, was speaking, I was thinking about some retired generals that spoke out against this war and said that they were called traitors and worse. And so I'm looking at ways to incorporate into this a condemnation of anyone who would attack a retired general for speaking out against a war. Because I think that was low, it was horrible, it was frightening, because in a way it was saying to these retired generals that they had no voice, no independent voice. So I want to thank my colleague, and I wonder if he recalls these generals, and I will have more details as I put together my second degree as well.
I would just say, in response to my colleague from California.
Well, I think you've got the gist of that now, and I, as you know, don't have any esteem whatsoever for Senator John Cornyn or Kay Bailey Hutchison from the Lone Star State. But the question I have on this whole matter here is: Cornyn stupid or is he a liar? Now, I happen to think he's probably both, but according to information, and here he stands on the Senate floor of the United States in front of the public, and says that he doesn't know anything about the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth. He doesn't know anything about that. He doesn't know they were from Texas. Let me tell you something. And you probably already know this. Houston builder Bob Perry, a longtime supporter of George W. Bush, donated $4.45 million to the Republican Party. Harold Simmons Contrans donated $3 million. Boone Pickens donated $2 million. And you're going to tell me that Senator John Cornyn doesn't... They donated that money to the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth, is what I should say. Three of them donated, almost $10 million, three of them, Texans. Hardcore right-wing Republican Texans donated that money to the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth. And we have a United States Senator from Texas standing there saying he didn't know they're from Texas. Please, please, please. Now we have somebody with us a little more truthful than John Cornyn. Bruce, welcome to the program. Oh, here, let's do it this way.
It's been a while here.
Yeah, it has been a while. You've been out and about and jet-setting all over the place and all that. Bruce is with us to talk a little bit about the state of affairs and talk radio nowadays, fights and everything else that's going on. How you been this summer?
Well, it's been an interesting summer. I went back east and... I was in the New York area, so I stopped in and visited some of our friends at Air America. Still trying to figure out what's going on with that operation. Had a nice chat with Mark Green, which he told me some things which might appear in my blog, and also met with your friend and mine, Randy Rhodes, who is really an interesting person.
Yes, she is. If nothing else, Aunt Randy is very interesting. I'll give you that one. That's for sure.
Yeah. But it's now fall. It's time to start focusing on things again. And there's lots of stuff out there. You know, just gotta kind of decide where I want to focus my energy and my blog. We did two recent things that I've done since I've been back. And this is on www.talkingradio.blogspot.com. If anybody wants to check it out. There was a little bit of a piece that I came up with on ABC Radio Networks, which is one of the largest syndicators, which appears to be pulling out of the talk radio syndication business. They canceled three of their shows, most recently the Satellite Sisters, which was a very successful, moderately successful, I should say, but probably the most high-profile women's talk show out there. And they even canceled some of their conservative talk shows. They were doing Mark Davis out of Texas. I don't know if you know him.
Yeah.
And a few others. So they, you know, it was kind of interesting. So I kind of put something up about that. Is this does this mean that ABC and Citadel, which now owns ABC Radio and also the syndication operation, are just cutting back, trying to cut their expenses, or do they think that maybe the industry is going to be imploding a little bit? And then, of course, right after that, I picked up on this whole issue of whether Bill O'Reilly was going to cancel his talk radio show. I don't know if you heard that one.
No, I haven't.
But there was a big...
Bill doesn't call me much anymore.
No, he doesn't. You know, we mainly cover on talking radio news of the... liberal talk radio issues, but you know we're not going to limit ourselves if we feel there's a big story out there, and if O'Reilly in fact is canceling his radio show, that's interesting. We're going to follow that, and it seems to be that it was a funny story because there were two bloggers, Steve Young, who's kind of a liberal who blogs on Huffington Post, and Brian Maloney, who's a radio, he calls himself a radio equalizer, who's a conservative guy who blogs. And they took turns. One guy said, it's going to happen, and then he came off later, both of them actually, said, no, it's not going to happen. And then the other guy, the conservative guy, Maloney, said, oh, no, it's not going to happen. And then a day later, he came on with a blog saying, well, you know something? I heard it is going to happen. So I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah.
So I put it up there. So any of the listeners want to check that out, they could find that at www.talkingradio.blogspot.com.
All right. Now, I have to ask, we're into gossip here, too, and I don't know. I haven't checked the blog here lately. We got wind through the we got news through the grapevine here that there's a certain liberal radio host, or so-called liberal radio host, involved in a fight. What do you know about that?
Well, we actually blogged on that too. That was the first thing I did when I got back from my trip. Is I was just looking around and I said, "Oh God, I guess I'll pick up on this thing." Ed Schultz, who used to be a professional football player, is a big guy. He's not the kind of guy I would.
Was he a professional football player? I knew he played in college.
He played professionally in Canada
Canada.
A brief time.
Okay.
But you know, he was actually a very good collegiate football player. He broke some records in North Dakota. But you know, I think it was a Division IIA team. But you know, still, he must have been fairly good to break these records. And anyhow, but he's a big guy, and he's known to have a temper. So I've met him a few times. I wouldn't pick a fight with him. But apparently this conservative guy from California, who happened to be in North Dakota on business, saw Ed in a local watering hole and started antagonizing him. And then his girlfriend, the guy who was antagonizing Ed, actually called Ed's wife, who Wendy, I don't know if you've ever met her, she's a lovely lady, and you used the C word in addressing her.
All them
in front of
right
Ed.
There.
And I think at that point maybe Ed couldn't restrain himself and probably pushed the guy a little bit. But that being said, it never really materialized to anything, and I think Ed actually tried to put it out there just so he could shore up his liberal credentials. We're always suspicious of Ed Schultz. We don't really trust them. In my blog, I've called him out when he attacked Air America. Now we've got an interesting thing where he claims that he wants to debate people, but he keeps avoiding debates. A lot of the right wingers are going after him, saying, "Hey, let's you want to debate us? Let's get on the air." And the other thing that he did, which is sort of strange, is that, I don't know if you've been following it, but Buzzflash has been doing a series of interviews with talk radio hosts.
Yes.
They just did one with Rachel Maddow.
Right.
And they're okay. I mean, they publish a long interview. And they've done several right now. They did Tom Hartman. I think they did Stephanie Miller. Apparently, they're claiming that Ed Schultz has been avoiding them. So I don't know what his thing is, whether he really just wants to interview on his own terms. And, of course, the other thing is he's been having this feud with Hillary Clinton because she refuses to appear on his show. So he's angry at her, not because he's angry at her policies. He's just angry because she won't be interviewed by him.
Mm-hmm. And she has been on his show in the past, and is not doing it now. I wonder what's up with that.
That would be an interesting issue to follow up on. But that being said, we'll have to choose our shots with Ed. He beats to his own drummer.
Yeah, he does. I've met Ed a couple of times, and he is all of that. Of course, you get a bunch of radio hosts in a room.
One thing, since I've rattled off a whole bunch of anti-Ed statements, I think he should be commended for his decision to allocate time to the Democratic candidates. Now, he's always been open to dealing with politicians. I think that started with his relationship with Democracy Radio, which was funded partly by the Democratic Party. But he actually provided his whole show last week to Dennis Kucinich.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was an excellent idea, and apparently he's made that offer to all the candidates. And I don't know whether anyone else has taken him up on it yet, but that's something you need to watch. I listened to part of that show, and I was very impressed that here's Dennis Kucinich, who has a following. He's definitely a minority candidate, but But he actually got to say the things that he wanted to say in a three-hour radio show.
Yeah, so that whole was, 3 hours. That's a good good thing for Dennis.
Right. So that you know, to Ed's credit, I think that was a clever idea.
Now, we've had Dennis on our show, and of course we endorsed him in the last campaign, and we'll probably do so again this time. We're
Ooh, is that an exclusive? Can I?
yeah, you can throw that one right out there. I'm not sure Dennis even knows it yet, but I've looked over the field real closely and don't know it. You know, I've said for a long time that if Al Gore jumped in, I'm on, but it doesn't look to me like Al's going to do any jumping right now.
Yeah.
Well, Bruce, thanks so much for being with us today. Always great to hear from you and hear what's going on.
I will try to be a regular. Is this a good time?
Yes, it certainly is. And if you're not, we'll
write it down and I won't forget.
We'll have to find you. I mean, I don't know how else to approach it.
I expect to be around now for the next month or so. So I'm not going anywhere. You know, I'm not one of these bloggers that is real portable. You know, I some of these guys are very, very portable. They got their laptops and they know how to do all the, you know, the wireless remote things. I'm not too good at that. So, I've got to either figure it out or maybe just stay home.
Well, listen, I'm envious that you don't have to lug that stuff through the airport and everything like I do when I go away. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
And then have your, well, the last time we went to the Take Back America conference in Washington, they lost our luggage with all of the electronic equipment in it.
Oh,
and of course, that made for a fun night, staying up all night waiting to see if the luggage was going to make it there. So, you know, that's thankfully you don't have to do that. That's a good thing. Avoid it.
Yeah.
Bruce,
well,
thanks so much.
Keep in touch, Ed.
Yes.
And, I mean, being that guy.
Yeah.
Talking about Ed Schultz. And let's, we'll come up with something hot next week.
All right. Thanks.
Okay.
Bye now. Oh, yes, the wacky world of liberal radio. And that leaves out Ed Schultz. He's not a liberal radio host. And I know a lot of you don't like it when I talk like that, but it's true. I know Ed Schultz. He's not a liberal by any stretch of the imagination. Never was, never will be. So there, I said it again. 866-546-5254. If you'd like to join us here on the program, we've still got plenty of time for you to give us a call, and we'll be back right after this.
Well, I dreamed I saw the knights in armor come and saying something about a queen. There were peasants singing and drummers drumming, and the archers split the tree.
There was a fanfare blowing to the sun that was floating on the breeze. Look at Mother Nature on the run in the 1917. I was lying in a burned out basement with a full moon in my eyes. I was hoping for a replacement when the sun burst through the skies. There was a band playing in my head and I felt like getting high. Thinking about what a friend had said, I was hoping it was a lie.
Well, I dreamed I saw the silver spaceships flying in the yellow haze of the sun. There were children crying and banners flying all around the chosen one.
All in a dream, all in a dream, the loading had begun. Flying Mother Nature's silver seed to a new home in the sun. Flying Mother Nature's silver seed to a new home in the sun.
Hi. somos novios, pues los dos sentimos mutuo amor profundo. Y con eso ya ganamos lo más grande de este mundo. Nos amamos, nos besamos, como novios nos deseamos, y hasta a veces sin motivos y razón nos enojamos.
Somos novios, mantenemos un cariño limpio y puro. Como todos, procuramos el momento.
Para darnos el más dulce de los besos, recordar de qué color son los cerezos, sin hacer más comentarios, somos novios. Un cariño lindo y puro.
Como todos,
procuramos el momento más oscuro para hablarnos en las luces. Recordarle qué color son los cerezos, sin hacer más comentarios, somos novios.
Somos novios,
siempre novios.
Catherine McPhee and Andrea Bocelli. It remains to be seen with the death of my favorite performer in all the world, Luciano Pavarotti, a couple of weeks ago. Maybe some of you knew that, maybe some of you didn't, but I love Luciano Pavarotti. And it remains to be seen now who's going to be the new king. I have felt for some time now that Andrea might be ready for that. And he just might. I'm not into it. That was a nice piece there, he and Catherine McPhee. I prefer his classical. He's got a wonderful classical voice, and I don't know. I know I'm biased. I don't know if anybody can take over for Pavarotti, but maybe. And I'm always kidding my friends that like Bocelli. I'm always saying, the kid, maybe it's time for the kid to take over now. yes. And it'll always be the same, much as the great Enrico Caruso. Fans of his, even they're very elderly when Pavarotti got started, they resented Pavarotti because a lot of people thought he was the greatest ever, and the fans of Enrico thought that he was the best ever. So that's always the way it is. It's just the same way in golf, you know. When Arnold Palmer came along, He was the king, and then Jack Nicklaus came along and took the crown away from him, and all the Arnie people didn't like Jack Nicklaus. And it's the same way. I'm a Jack Nicklaus guy, being formerly from Ohio, and have met Jack Nicklaus several times and loved the guy. I thought he was a credit to his sport. Now we don't think we old dyed-in-the-wool Jack Nicklaus fans don't think that Tiger Woods is any Jack Nicklaus. He may be, but biased as I am, I would never admit it, you know. So that, why am I rambling on about Andrea Bocelli and Caruso? I don't know. You didn't. Anyway, here we here we are down to the last few minutes of the Guy James Show today. I did want to mention all my Canadian friends are very, very happy today, and we have many Canadian friends. I got email from several of them, and I don't know if they're putting me on, but I doubt it because I have kept track of this lately. But I live in an area of the country where we have visitors from many, many, many people from Canada come here and spend the winters. And we also have a lot of French and French-Canadians and a lot of English and people from all over the world come here and spend the winter. But many, many Canadians, and they have moaned and complained, and rightly so, for many, many years, about how the Canadian dollar, you know, how they got ripped off so bad when they'd come down here. I remember when the Canadian dollar was only worth about, 61 cents. It was down that far, I think. And today, the Canadian dollar is trading on par with the U.S. dollar. Now, that's bad news for the U.S., but that's something that has not been seen since 1976. So that's another harbinger of things to come, that maybe the U.S. economy and the U.S. dollar is not doing so well. It's going to be interesting to see how the U.S. is going to manage to finance its debts, as a lot of foreign investors continue to dump the U.S. dollar. I want to read something real quick to you that came from Bernie. And Bernie, thanks for sending this. And he wanted to mention about the Blackwater thing. And I think I've got time to do this, and I'll just read it to you. It's an email from Bernie. And thanks, Bernie. Poor Prime Minister Maliki. He'll rant, he'll rail against Blackwater mercenaries as they shoot their way through his country. But quite soon, President Bush will tap him on the shoulder and remind him that the head of Blackwater is a top Republican donor, the scion of one of the wealthiest families in South Carolina, and co-founder of Focus on the Family to boot. Bush will then remind Maliki that the only way Iraq's Republican sponsors will survive the 2008 election is if high rollers like Blackwater keep donating. If that means U.S. contractors continue wandering the roadsides dispensing Saddam-style justice as they see fit, then so be it. The unspoken message is that Blackwater will be in Iraq long after Maliki is gone. Yeah, being a figurehead isn't always easy, but as another figurehead once reminded a room full of federal prosecutors, we serve at the pleasure of President Bush. Like Alberto Gonzalez, Maliki will soon realize he's about as essential as table garnish and just as easily replaced. Well put, Bernie, and I think you're right on the money. Thanks thanks so much for sending that. And thanks to all of you for sending the great emails that we get from you and the information that you send, show material. Very, very valuable to me, and I thank you so very, very much for that. I do hope that you'll take time and remember that this is a listener-supported program, and it's that time of year when we can certainly use your help on the program to keep it going. It does cost money, and I know you realize that, and we appreciate everybody's help. And I want to say once again, Chris, thank you very much, and thanks to everybody that donates to the program, all of you. I appreciate it very, very much. Well, it's time to head on down the highway here from the Guy James Show studio. I thank you. I thank you so much for being with us today. I have enjoyed doing the program as I always do. I want to remind you that you're listening to the Guy James Show, part of the Head On Radio Network. And we want to encourage you to be back with us next week. And don't forget, you heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth.